because I'll make sure they're already inside the hybrid when we cross the border." "You don't have room for 9 girls in the hybrid," Pearl said practically. "No, but they'll arrive spread out over the day, so it'll work fine."
"I'm happy to send a security escort," I nodded to Boulder.
"And how about sleeping arrangements?" Pearl asked, with a glance in Magni's direction. "For the adults, I mean."
"We're building an annex on the grounds with rooms for the adults," Boulder said. "So far we have 6 adults who will share the night duty between them."
"I don't understand." Pearl shook her head.
"I have an assistant called Marco. He's 20, and I'm training him to be a mentor," Archer explained. "Then there's Magni, who will be teaching fighting and survival skills with me. He has agreed to take a few shifts when his schedule allows him to. Kaya has taken Shelley on as an assistant, and Christina has volunteered to take some of the night shift, too."
"Shelley is the sister of Rochelle, right?" Pearl asked.
"Yes." Boulder leaned in. "The plan is to give every one of the adults a small cabin for themselves, but to have them rotate in sleeping at the main house with the children. There will always be at least 1 adult male and female present."
"But Shelley isn't an adult," Pearl objected. "She's only 15. "She'll do fine," Christina assured me. "You'll see when you meet her."
"We had to make decisions when you were gone," I told Pearl.
"Yes," she nodded. "But now that I'm back, I want to be fully involved." Her head turned to Kaya. "Maybe I can help you somehow. We should expect the children to be divided in their academic levels." "That would be amazing," Kaya said. "And you're right, one of the biggest challenges will be that the children are on different levels."
"But you won't be sleeping at the school," I added, because the very thought of sleeping alone again bothered me. I had almost lost Pearl, and I intended to spend every night with her getting my fill of what I'd missed out on. She only bestowed me a quick glance, and it reinforced my feeling something wasn't right.
"Who is going to be Shelley's protector?" Pearl asked.
"She won't need one," Magni declared.
"Of course she will. She's a young woman living among grown men and pubescent boys," Pearl pointed out.
Magni gave her the coldest stare, like she'd just offended him personally. The tension between them made me frown. I knew Magni had never been Pearl's biggest fan, but I thought he'd softened up a bit. Had something happened between them? My mind was spinning with possible connections, trying to understand what the fuck was making her cold and him mean again. "Shelley is under 18, and any man who touches her against her will faces the death penalty," Magni declared. Pearl, Christina, and Kaya exchanged glances, and it didn't take a genius to know they didn't agree with our harsh laws.
"Just because something is illegal doesn't mean it never happens," Pearl challenged Magni with a raised brow. "I'm pretty sure kidnapping women isn't legal either, yet you did just that."
Magni narrowed his eyes, his fists clenched. "She doesn't need a protector," he repeated, "because I'll personally make it clear to any man and boy on this island that if anyone touches Shelley, Kaya, or any other female for that matter, they will suffer the most excruciating death in the history of mankind." Pearl didn't look calmed by his words at all. She turned to me.
"What do you say?"
"I say Magni is right. The girls won't have dedicated protectors like the rest of you, but every man in this room will look out for those girls like they were ours to personally protect." "That's right. No one fucking hurts any of my little girls," Archer said with a solemn nod. Magni and Boulder grunted in support.
"All right."
Pearl focused in on Kaya and Christina, and I was puzzled by Kaya's small sigh. It was almost as if she didn't see the gift in the girls being surrounded by so many protective men. "What's wrong?" I asked her.
"Nothing,"
Kaya said too quickly. My eyes narrowed. "What is wrong?" I repeated.
"I just
hope you don't all go crazy alpha male protector on the girls, that's all. Kaya breathed.
Elaborate, I said brusquely. Her eyes darted to Magni and Archer, and then back to me.
It can be a bit much with attention and constant threats, and I, for one, would like to create a tranquil setting for the children to relax and grow in.
Tranquil, I said slowly. You do realize that come Tuesday you'll have at least 10 rowdy boys at your school.
Archer had a smug smile on his face, and his arms were folded.
I've tried telling her that, but she's got some whacked-up ideas about what a school should be like.
Kaya replied, All I'm saying is, don't breathe down the girls' necks because you want to protect them. I'm there as well, and I'll provide a safe haven of nonviolence.
Archer swung a hand to her, looking straight at me. Did you hear that?
Uh-huh.
I appreciate that you've asked us to come up with the curriculum together, but it's a little difficult when we basically disagree on everything. He gave Kaya a pointed stare. Tell them about your insane idea that the kids need to shower together.
There's nothing insane about it, Kaya argued. Nudity is a natural thing, and our children always shower together after physical exercises. That way they have a completely relaxed view of their body as being nothing to hide or be ashamed of.
Archer shook his head with a snort, but I looked to Pearl and Christina, waiting for them to reveal it was a joke. They looked dead serious.
Shower together, I said, swallowing my grin. Geez, the mumsies had no idea how easy they were making it for us. That's an excellent idea. I like it.
You can't be serious, Archer objected.
Don't your boys usually shower together? Pearl asked.
Of course, Archer said, but that's different. Some of the girls are old enough to have developed breasts. We're going to have 10 horny teenagers trying to hide their boners. I'm not fucking putting them through that.
They won't be sexually aroused, Kaya naively argued. We've showered as groups with our classmates all through our childhood, and I've never seen a boy get aroused by it. It's not like that.
Oh, yeah? Archer leaned closer. Well, our boys aren't raised with girls, and I promise you they'll react.
Magni moved in his seat.
How long do you shower together? He asked the women, and I heard the unusual curiosity in his voice.
Normally all the way through high school, but as I've told you, Pearl said, we don't care much about gender, and we don't sexualize the naked body.
Magni rubbed his forehead. Fucking hell, I'm going to have wet dreams about being a teenage boy in a community shower full of young women.
I really don't see the problem, Christina said. You do it too. You just admitted that the boys shower together.
Yes, but they're all boys, Archer said in frustration.
So, sometimes boys like boys. Don't tell me the Northlands don't have a single homosexual.
It happens, I said.
And do you separate those boys from showering with the others?
No, of course not.
Why not? They might get sexually aroused, Kaya said dryly. You're being complete hypocrites about this. It's just a shower, not a sex club.
My eyes shot to Pearl with Kaya's reminder that the Motherlands had sex clubs, and it didn't help my mood that I knew Pearl had once visited one of them. Archer leaned toward Kaya.
If that's how you feel, then how about you and I go shower a few times just to test out your theory that it's nothing sexual?
Yeah, that's not fucking happening, Magni declared firmly.
Maybe we can wait with the showering together for now, Pearl suggested. Fine, but I'm not giving up on the massage, Kaya said, and this time she crossed her arms with a stubborn pout.
Massage? I tilted my head.
Yes, it's scientifically proven that human touch is important for many reasons, one being that it reduces stress and helps bond people. In my classroom, the children always have half an hour of massaging each other twice a week.
And that obviously conflicts with my keep-your-hands-to-yourself policy, Archer pointed out.
Why do you not want your boys to touch each other? Christina asked with a puzzled expression.
Because it always ends in fighting. Of course it does, Kaia said in a lecturing manner. How else would the poor boys meet their need for physical touch? I say we vote on it, Christina suggested.
No, Archer sat tall in his chair. It's enough that I have to compromise with Kaia. I don't want the rest of you dragged into this, too.
Why not? Kaia said. Every school has a board of members working to support the school. The seven of us should form a board. Excellent idea, Christina chimed in.
I held up a hand to stop them. There are only two people with the ultimate decision, and that's me and Pearl. I'm not sharing power with anyone but her.
Nonsense. It's a great exercise in democracy and aligns perfectly with the school's being experimental, Pearl said and raised her hand. Who votes for the seven of us being a school board from now on?
Four hands went up. Three hands stayed down. Traitor, I muttered to Boulder, who just grinned back at me. Hey, I always felt you had too much power for your own good. I'm happy to help you distribute it a little, he said.
Do you accept your position on the school board?
Pearl asked Magni and Archer. They both agreed after a long glance in my direction. Normally I would have put an end to this coup, but Pearl's being cooler to me worried me, and I thought that maybe giving her this small victory would soften her up.
Great, she said. Then let's vote about the massage. Who is in favor of trying Kaya's idea and letting the children give each other neck rubs?
My hand went up, and so did everyone's but Archer and Magni.
Thank you, Kaia said triumphantly. And who supports meditation on the schedule twice a day?
I don't even know what it is, Magni shook his head. It's that boring shit where they sit and do nothing with their eyes closed, Boulder explained. Ah, Magni gave a nod. No, that's just a waste of time. He turned his thumb down.
You don't get to take a vote on this until you've actually tried meditating for at least a week, Pearl said with a finger pointing to all us men. It's non-negotiable to us. Meditation is fundamental in our lives and our children are used to it.
Once a day, then, Archer suggested, and it was agreed upon. We discussed discipline and the use of physical punishment, which not surprisingly had the group split between men and women. We discussed the yearly survival drill that all N-boys had to go through. The women were horrified that the children would be left in the woods in groups of five for 3 days and 2 nights without food and constant supervision. We could give you a yes on the showers if you give us the survival camp, I suggested, but ultimately it was decided to postpone the vote. I wanted Pearl to look at me. And maybe it was the desperation that her coolness caused in me that made me say what I did next. Good. And while we're all here, I would like to invite you to our wedding this Saturday, I declared.
This Saturday? Pearl stared at me. That's in 2 days. I thought we would wait a few weeks.
There's no need to wait, I said. Don't you think that's a little hasty? Not to mention that we're a little busy, Magni sputtered, and I felt heat rise in my face. What the fuck?
Can I bring Raven?
Kaia asked, and at least she was smiling. No, and you're not going either, Archer told Kaia, whose face fell.
Why? I've never been to a wedding, Kaia argued.
Archer tensed up and looked at me. Will the ceremony be with an audience or just a private gathering? It'll be public, I said.
Then you can't let Kaia go, Archer insisted. She's a single woman, and the men would demand to fight for her.
Oh, she's not going, Magni boomed. And there's no fucking way Raven is getting exposed either. We need to keep this project safe, and parading two treasures around like that would be fucking reckless.
But you just said no one would touch a girl under 18, Kaia pointed out.
All the men at the table looked tense. They won't, I said, because there was no reason to go over worst-case scenarios.
Actually, I would like to invite my mother,
Pearl announced, and it was as if a sweet melody played in my head. With her coolness, I had feared that she had gotten cold feet, and how could I blame her after all my confessions yesterday? You can invite your mother, I assured her. And Kaya and Raven will be there as my guests, too. Officially, we'll say that Kaya is my friend, and Raven is Kaya's daughter. That way every Enman will know not to get his hopes up, since Kaya is only visiting as far as they know.
Yes, that's a good plan, Kaya agreed, and waited for me to speak.
That could work, I said. All right, I'll make sure to mention that you two are visitors. Magni banged his fist down on the table. I don't want Kaya there, and as her protector, I should make that decision. How about you decide to let her breathe just a little? Archer exclaimed, and narrowed his eyes at Magni. Kaya isn't Laura, and she won't fucking run away. You don't have to sit on top of her the whole time. You just argued yourself that she shouldn't go, Magni accused. Yeah, but I'm not banging the table and scaring her. An awkward silence spread around the table as the two men stared each other down. I was the ruler, and although Magni did have a point, I couldn't let him dictate to me. The wedding will be this Saturday, I said calmly, ignoring the power struggle between my brother and Archer. Kaya, you'll be escorted by Magni, and Raven will be under the protection of Archer. I got up. Magni, will you walk with me? I'll need your input on the practicalities of the wedding. He pushed his chair back and rushed out ahead of me, mad from his confrontation with Archer and from my overruling him. Thank you for lunch, I said to Boulder. The chop was delicious. You're welcome, he grinned at me. I shot that wild boar myself when I was out with the Rangers. You should have come. All three women looked repulsed, so I gave a short answer. Next time, maybe. Chapter 28 The Trap Khan Magni was pacing outside the house, close to the drone that Pearl and I had arrived in. Let's walk, I said, and pointed toward the forest. Fine. He came along, not speaking, but throwing off anger and frustration in spades. You oppose my marriage to Pearl, I said, when we were well into the forest, following a path that I had walked before. I told you that I don't trust her, he said in a harsh tone. Yes, you did, and I told you that I trust her. Women aren't like us. They do irrational things. He grabbed a branch and broke off a long twig, picking it into pieces as we walked. How the fuck can you be so sure Pearl isn't a spy? Didn't I tell you the council would make it look like they're opposed to her being here, when in reality she was planted here by them to begin with? I have to trust my gut. Then you're a fool. You really think the council would let her get back here to marry you if she wasn't on some kind of mission? No, of course not, I scoffed. They only agreed to let her talk in the council after Christina and the others filmed a video where Boulder strategically accused Pearl of making me soft in the head. I gave him a pointed stare. I would have to be an imbecile not to realize that they sent her here hoping she'll soften me and make us more civilized. Magni stopped abruptly and pushed at my shoulders. See, that's what I'm talking about. You can't fucking let them change us. We're the last free men, and I won't allow the Momsies to infiltrate us like that. Don't you see we're under attack here? Attack? My lips lifted in a smile. You forget that it goes both ways. Huh? I brought up the article that Pearl had shared with me yesterday. They're making it legal to mention us. Do you realize how big that is? Magni's eyes ran over the text hovering in the air above my arm. About time. Pearl has spoken for us in the council. Don't forget that she's the reason we have the school project to begin with. Aren't you happy that our female population is going up, especially with the 9 girls joining us on Monday? I realized my mistake when I said it. Yes, we had gained more women, but he'd lost his wife in the process. I get that Pearl isn't all evil, but... Magni breathed. Evil? Do you hear yourself? I felt my temper flare. Pearl is the opposite of evil. She's fucking selfless and kind to everyone, including you, and all you do is hate her. Magni squared his shoulders defensively. I just call out bullshit when I see it, and something about Pearl isn't right. Why? Because it's too unthinkable that she would actually love me? I didn't say that. You didn't have to, I said grumpily. I'm finding it hard to believe myself. You're too hard on yourself. Yeah, I wonder why, I shot back. And we both knew I was referring to the man who had been hard on me from my birth. Hey, Magni placed his hand on my shoulder. You're doing a good job, just don't get played by them. Pearl is going to be my wife. I said it with a raised eyebrow to match my non-negotiable tone of voice. Oh, so that's how it is. You're going to risk it all. He snorted and shook his head. Unbelievable. But let's see if you want to go through with it when we know who she's really loyal to, he challenged. Boulder and I set a trap for her. What the fuck are you talking about? Unease spread in the pit of my stomach. We made sure she overheard us talking about the way we got into the Motherlands. And if she hasn't told you, then it's probably because she's saving that information for her sisters. Magni hissed the last word. My nervous system flared up with a feeling of fire ants running up and down my arms. When did she hear you talk about it? A few hours ago, and from your cluelessness, I'm guessing Mama Pearl hasn't come running to you, has she? No, she hadn't. In fact, she'd been cooler than usual, and now I had an idea why. The acute sensation of nausea made me bend over and place my hands on my knees. What, is doubt finally creeping up on you? Magni said, and when I looked up, he was towering over me with his arms crossed. About fucking time you get your head out of your ass and start seeing what I see. I exhaled deeply and rose to my full height. I need to talk to her. No. Magni clamped his hand down on my shoulder. Keep an eye on her. We didn't give her any valuable information, since it was all fluff we made up. A smirk emerged on his face. What did you say? Just that the town was called Northgate and the contact person was called Jackass Johnny. As in the whiskey? Yep, but she won't know that. They don't have whiskey. But I do. There's a bottle in my office, you idiot. Magni wrinkled his nose. You think she noticed? I rubbed my forehead. This is Pearl. She's observant and highly intelligent. Of course she noticed. I'll bet she could draw all the details of my office. Magni kicked at some leaves. Shit, I didn't think about that. So, you think she realized we were setting her up? I rolled my eyes, pissed at him for gambling with my future like this. I don't know. Well, don't tell her anything, just wait and see if she tells you, Magni insisted. Sometimes you're a real pain in the ass, I muttered as we headed back the way we'd come. Right back at you, he replied. But you're my brother, and it's my job to save your ass. I know, I admitted, and if you're right, I won't forget it. No, there wasn't any chance of me forgetting something that would tear me apart completely. Chapter 29 Loyalty Khan. I had hoped Pearl would tell me what troubled her once we were alone, but flying back in the drone, she was still withdrawn. My mind was worrying about the things Magni had told me. I badly wanted him to be wrong, and I kept going back to last night. I had been ready to give up on us, but Pearl had fought for us and brought me back from the abyss. She had been open about her feelings, declaring her love for me. So why was she cold now? I didn't have much experience with women, and felt confused and rejected. "What's wrong?" I asked.
"Nothing. I just have a lot on my mind."
"Like what?"
"Like the school and the council."
Alarm bells chimed in my head. "What about the council?" She twirled a strand of her long blonde hair.
"I'm still just shocked they would treat me like they did. What if Christina and the others hadn't made that video that made the council agree to finally listen to me? And what if I hadn't been able to convince the council to let me come back here?"
Her frown formed a triangle between her brows.
"I'm starting to wonder just how many people are put in places of reflection that don't belong there."
"You're too strong for them to hold down, Pearl," I said, and leaned in to kiss her.
"That's not true," she replied, and gave me a small peck instead of the heated kiss I'd been hoping for.
Confusion made me sit back in my seat and look out the window, her small rejection ripping open wounds from my past. This time my insecurities scratched at the most infected memory of them all, and dark spots appeared in front of my eyes from the hurt connected to this particular memory.
"No!"
The roaring scream came from Mr. Zobel, who stood next to my father on the balcony. My father reached for his friend as Mr. Zobel fell to his knees, his hand in his hair, and his eyes expanded in terror. I was numb for a second, trying to let the last seconds catch up to me. Just a minute ago, we'd been laughing and cheering for Peter, Mr. Zobel's son, who fought his first tournament. Peter was strong and fast, a skilled fighter 4 years my senior, whom I had respected and looked up to since I was a boy. But Peter had made a fatal mistake, and his opponent had gotten too close. At first I thought the man was going for Peter's neck in an attempt to strangle him, but no, it had been such a quick movement, and then it was over. Without warning, the man had snapped Peter's neck. My friend had been about to attack, coming at his opponent with his arms raised, muscles flexed, and fire in his blue eyes, until his head twisted unnaturally, and he dropped dead to the ground. The winner strutted around the stage now, banging his chest and roaring out his testosterone to the cheering audience who loved him for it. The man was a ruthless killer and soaked up their admiration. Next to me, on the balcony, my father was bending down and speaking to Mr. Zobel, muttering things I couldn't hear, but Magni was closer, and the look on his face told me he was furious.
"Don't you fucking say that!" he pushed at our father, who narrowed his eyes and gave a short command.
"Magni, go fetch your mother. Mr. Zobel needs to lie down." Magni pivoted and walked away, with me following in his footsteps.
"What did he say?"
I asked with an eerie feeling it had something to do with me. Magni's physically pushing our father was a first, and I wanted to know what words had provoked him to react that way.
"Nothing," Magni hissed low, and that only confirmed that it had been about me.
With a strong hand on my brother's upper arm, I stopped him.
"What did the fucker say this time?"
My solemn glare and icy tone demanded the truth. Magni huffed out air, his blue eyes closing for a second, before he met my stare head-on.
"The bastard said that he wished it had been you instead of Peter, because at least then he could die knowing the Northlands would have a strong ruler in me."
My face remained impassive. Only my Adam's apple bobbed in my throat as I swallowed hard and felt a new layer of armor form on the outside of my heart.
"Don't let him get to you," Magni reminded me, like he had for years. "You know how he enjoys playing mind games."
Yes, I knew, because usually I was the target of those mind games, but this was different.
"I have to fetch Mom,"
Magni muttered, grabbed onto my shoulder, and leaned in.
"But afterwards, you and I are going to drink to Peter's memory and get wasted, okay?"
"I can't believe he's dead," I said emotionlessly, as the reality of my friend's death hadn't sunk in yet.
Me neither. It's fucked up.
Magni shook my shoulder again before he left.
I don't know how long I stood there, my fists clenched as hard as my jaw, my hatred for my father growing every time Magni's words replayed in my mind. He wished it had been you instead of Peter, because at least then he could die knowing the Northlands would have a strong ruler in me.
Mr. Zobel was white as a ghost when he was helped from the balcony to a chair inside the large room where I stood. I watched my father's concern for his friend, and saw my mother come running and kneel down on the thick rug to take Mr. Zobel's hand, offering condolences and kind words. It was absurd to watch my father shower his old friend with sympathy and kindness, when all he had to offer me, his oldest son and heir, were harsh words. Maybe if he'd been a bastard to everyone, I wouldn't have cared so much, but he loved Magni and my mother, and clearly he cared deeply about his friend Mr. Zobel, too. It was me that he hated. Because I was a big fucking disappointment to him, and stood in the way of his favorite son, Magni. It was easy to hate Magni, and for years I had. But then I'd noticed how Magni resented the favoritism from our father, and we had grown close in spite of it. Now that I was 25, Magni was my closest ally and friend. After my mother and Magni had supported Mr. Zobel out of the room, I approached my father with my heart feeling cold and distant. "I'm sorry that Peter had to die today. It's a great loss to all of us," I said mechanically. My father nodded and brushed sweat from his forehead. "Make sure his killer meets the best fighter in the next round. I want him destroyed for what he did to Peter." Pacing the floor, he continued, "Such a fucking coward. Anyone can break a man's neck. Where's the sport in that? In my days we fought with honor." He looked up and swung his hands in my direction. "Your generation doesn't know what honor means. Strangling, breaking bones, crushing someone's skull, that's what real men do. Not some fancy kung fu move to snap off a life in a second." While talking, he returned to the balcony and I followed. Groaning in anger, he positioned himself in his favorite pose with his legs spread, his hands planted firmly on his hips, and his elbows spread wide. The way he angled his chin down gave him a menacing posture that radiated intimidating power. "Where is that motherfucker?" I spotted Peter's killer right away, now in the audience enjoying his fame while preparing to see the next fight. "I want that piece of shit dead," my father growled. "Why don't I go down and challenge him myself?" I asked with a sardonic tone. "If you're lucky, he'll snap my neck too, and you can have your wish come true." My father arched a brow at me. "Ah, so Magni told you, did he?" My silence confirmed that. "Tch!" He dismissed me with a headshake. "You've always been so damn dramatic. Just get out of here." When he lifted his hand and pushed at my face with his palm like I was a small boy throwing a tantrum, I acted on instinct. "Don't you fucking touch me," I growled low in my throat, and pushed him back hard enough to knock him to the floor. My father was agile for his age and got up quickly, brushing himself off and cursing at me. "You spoiled little brat, are you challenging my position?" "No." I started walking away, when his words froze me to my core. "I meant everything I said," he hissed. "It should have been you out there."
"Khan!"
Pearl called my name, as if she had been trying to get my attention for a while.
"What?"
I turned to look at her, my father's hateful words from 9 years ago still hammered in my chest.
"When we get back, I need to talk to my mom and invite her to the wedding," Pearl said.
"Okay.
And what do you suggest I wear? I have that purple skirt you said you liked," she began.
"No, I'll have the tailor come today and you'll order a white dress."
"But can they make a dress in 2 days?
"Yes. If you can agree on the design, the tailor's robots will work overnight and have it ready for you tomorrow morning."
But why white?
Tradition, I said, and took her hand. We split up when we got to the Gray Manor. Pearl retreated to our suite while I went into my office, where I watched her conversation with her mother. Pearl would probably have a problem with my spying on her, but I was a control freak, and with what Magni had told me about the trap he set for Pearl, I was nervous and needed answers. Her conversation with Isabel was short and to the point. Pearl explained that the ceremony was Saturday, and that she would like her mother to come. Isabel promised she would, and they arranged the practical details of when to meet at the border. To my relief, Pearl mentioned nothing about unauthorized crossings over the border. The call had just ended when Magni popped his head into my office. "So any news? Did she tell you on the flight back?" "No, but she just spoke to her mom and said nothing about what she heard you and Boulder speak of." "She wouldn't." He angled his head. "You said it yourself, Pearl isn't stupid. She must know you can listen to her conversations with her mother. She's going to wait until she and Isabel are face to face." "Or maybe she won't tell her anything at all," I said, expressing my hope that Pearl would be loyal to me. Magni plumped himself down on the chair in front of my desk. "At least postpone the wedding," he suggested. "No." He puffed out air in frustration. "And how are you going to do the ceremony? I mean, normally it's the ruler who performs the ritual," he said. "But since you're the one getting married..." He lifted both eyebrows as if saying, "See the problem? I thought you could do it." "Why me?" he asked with a frown. "Can't you ask a priest or something?" "No, Pearl isn't religious, and neither am I. Besides, for the last 2 centuries, weddings have been performed by the ruler, and you're my second in command." "Yeah, but..." He scratched his shoulder and looked down, as if an excuse to decline was written on the floor. "I did it for you and Laura," I reminded him. "That was different." He squirmed in the chair. "If I'm right and Pearl's a spy, I'm going to feel guilty for locking you up in a marriage with her. Unless..." He tapped his chin with a thoughtful expression. "What? You could make it legal to get a divorce. That way you could get rid of her if she is a spy." "It is legal to get a divorce," I pointed out. "Yeah, but only if there's physical abuse involved." "Oh, there will be if she betrays me," I said solemnly. "I guarantee she'll have the reddest ass in the country." "Spanking isn't abuse," Magni pointed out. I raised a brow. "Pearl will think it is." "Right," Magni nodded. "Just don't go soft on her. If you need tips on how to discipline her, I could..." "Don't." I held up my hand. "I don't need relationship advice from you." His eyes darkened. "No, of course not. Why would you take advice from a husband whose wife ran away?" "I didn't mean it like that." Magni stood up. "Right." "Magni," I said in a placating tone, but he was already leaving and turned by the door. "I'll perform the ceremony tomorrow and smile for the cameras, but know this, I still don't fucking trust her." After he left, my day was occupied with practical details. My entire staff was working like busy bees to prepare for the ceremony, and I didn't see Pearl until after midnight when I came to bed.
"Are you asleep?" I whispered.
"I was," she said drowsily, and rolled onto her side to face me.
"I haven't seen you all day."
"I know, I had to take care of the practicalities."
"You promised it wouldn't be anything fancy."
"It's not." I took her hand. "But I still want it to be perfect." Her eyelids were heavy, and she struggled to stay awake. "Hey," I whispered, feeling a heavy knot in my stomach. "Are you okay?"
"Uh-huh."
She blinked her lovely blue eyes open and rubbed her nose.
"Just a little nervous."
"About the ceremony or about seeing your mom?"
"Both, I guess. You know, about my mom..."
"Yeah?" Don't be mad at her for what she did, Pearl said softly. My mom was trying to protect me.
By locking you up?
Con, Pearl pleaded. I was angry at her too, but she's my mom and I love her.
I'll be nice to her, I promised.
Good. My mom is an extraordinary woman, and she can be our strongest ally on the Council if you can make her see why I fell in love with you.
You want me to show your mother what a superior lover I am? I teased.
She slapped my arm lovingly. No, that part of you is reserved for me only.
You're damn right it is, I agreed and kissed her forehead, excited that Pearl seemed warmer toward me than she had been at Boulder's Island.
Today I asked Christina about what to expect at the ceremony, but she said she doesn't remember much from her wedding to Boulder. Apparently she was too shocked by your betrayal.
There was a sharpness to her tone. Yeah, I sighed. I admit that wasn't my finest moment, but you can trust that I won't spring any surprises on you.
Good. She moved forward to kiss me. Good night, then.
Hey, I whispered and pulled her closer. If I wanted to give you a wedding present, what should I get you? My words made her lift her head as if a sudden idea had popped into it.
Can I ask for anything? She asked.
Sure, I'll give you anything that's within my power to give. With a sudden burst of energy, Pearl sat up with her legs crossed and turned toward me with a serious expression that I'd seen before. She had something big on her mind, and was trying to word it perfectly in her head before saying it out loud. Just spit it out, I said impatiently. She wet her lips.
What I want most of all from you is safety for my people.
Her request made me sit up too, leaning against the headboard and folding my arms. Your people? I thought we were your people now.
You are. By marrying you, I'm making both Mocklanders and Enmen my people, and I want safety for all.
I'm not sure what you're asking me to do.
I want you to make me a promise, she said sternly.
I tensed up, but waited for her to speak.
I've been searching for a way to talk to you about this all day, but it would be the perfect wedding gift for me.
I signaled for her to elaborate.
You know that Magni found a way to cross the border, and that's how he kidnapped Athena.
Uh-huh.
And you know how many times I've asked you to do something about it.
I'm not going to torture my brother. He promised he won't do it again.
But others might, she said. And now you won't have to torture him, because I know where the passage is.
My eyebrows shot up, and a buzzing sensation of hope surged through me from head to toe. Really?
Yes, and I want you to promise me that you'll put a stop to it. I can't worry that other women might get abducted.
Where is it? I asked. I promise you that if you can give me the exact location, I'll personally go and check it out. And if it's really there, I'll close it down.
Thank you, Pearl sighed with relief. I overheard Magni and Boulder mention that they crossed the border at a town called Northgate, and that their contact person was called Jackass Johnny.
And who have you told this? I asked, holding my breath.
Only you.
Not the Council?
No. She pointed a finger at me. But if you refuse to close down the passage, I might tell them.
I didn't even get upset about the last part, but broke into a huge smile. She had told me. Pearl had fucking told me before anyone else. She was loyal to me. Pushing her back on the bed, I rolled on top of her and poured all my gratitude into a deep kiss.
She pushed at me. This is serious. I want you to shut it down.
Sweetie, they played you. I chuckled against her neck and felt feather light in my heart. She was my woman, first and foremost.
What do you mean they played me?
Northgate is a tiny town in the upper eastern corner of the Northlands, about as far away from the border as you can go. I guarantee that's not where Magni crossed into the Motherlands. Secondly, Jackass Johnny is the name of a whiskey, not a man.
How do you know? Endmen have the most obscure names, she said.
I laughed. Naming a child after a bottle of whiskey? I mean, give us some credit, babe. Didn't you see the bottle in my office?
Of course I did, but it could be an alias, for all I know.
You're right. I swallowed my grin. I shouldn't tease you, but trust me, it was a trap. And I'm just so damn happy that you came to me. Pearl laughed a little when I planted 20 quick kisses across her nose, cheeks, forehead, chin, mouth, and jawline.
I still want your help closing down that passage. That's what I want for my wedding gift.
I'll see what I can do. I drew in a deep breath, feeling the frustration from earlier leave me. Is what you heard the reason you were acting cold toward me earlier today?
I wasn't cold toward you, Pearl protested. I just had a lot on my mind, and I was trying to figure out the best way to bring it up and make you take it seriously this time.
I kissed her forehead.
And you, what would you like for your wedding gift? She asked.
You've already given me the greatest gift. There's nothing more precious than your love and your loyalty. My words affected Pearl, and I smiled when her eyes grew moist. But if you really want to give me a gift, I said with my most charming grin, then I wish for an heir, and a daughter, too. Pearl pushed me off her and rose up on her elbows with her eyes narrowed.
Did you just say what I think you said?
What do you think I said? I asked, enjoying the electrical sparks between us.
Please tell me that you didn't just imply that only a boy can be your heir.
Of course, I said with a straight face.
Oh, hell no.
It was the first time I'd ever heard Pearl curse, and it was insanely sexy with the way she shifted position to kneel on the bed, placing her hands on her thighs and leaning forward with a look of fierce determination.
We're going to straighten this out right now.
What?
I believe in democracy, and I will do my best to convince you that is the way to go.
You can try, I said, and shrugged.
I'm not done, so be quiet and listen, Pearl ordered, clearly passionate about this subject. I want you to promise that no matter the gender of our children, it'll make no difference.
I scrunched my face. There's a big fucking difference.
Women can lead just as well as men, she argued. In fact, I would say they lead better.
If I wasn't so fucking turned on by you right now, I'd punish you for insulting me like that. I moved closer to her. I'll be happy to show you why male dominance is addictive to women. Pearl held up a hand.
Promise me that our daughters will have equal rights with our sons.
My head fell forward in a groan. It's after midnight. We're getting married tomorrow. I can't change the laws in a jiffy, even if I wanted to.
Promise me that our daughters will have equal rights with our sons, she said slowly and firmly, her eyes focused on me.
No, I said without blinking.
Why not?
Because we're the last free men of the world, and as long as men are banned from ruling the Motherlands, women are banned from ruling the Northlands. She blinked and sat quietly for a moment.
Okay, I see your point. So how about you and I make a pact? I'll do everything in my power to advocate for males to be allowed on the council, and when I succeed, you'll change your law too.
When half the council are males, I said, then I'll change the law, but until then, the Northlands remain ruled by a male.
And what if we only have daughters? Pearl asked with an arched brow.
Then hopefully Magni will have sons.
How? Laura is gone, and she might not come back.
If she doesn't come back, I'll sign his divorce papers and set him free to marry someone else.
But what if no one chooses him as their champion?
Rubbing my face, I groaned. I don't know. I'm too tired to worry about that now.
Okay. But we have a pact?
Pearl reached out both her hands to me. Yes, we have a pact, I said solemnly. When there is 50% men on the Council of the Motherlands, I'll change the law and make it possible for a female to rule the Northlands.
Thank you.
So, let's get to the good part and create those kids, shall we? Her face softened and a dimple popped out.
I thought you said you were tired.
Yeah. I lifted her to sit astride me, grinding her down on top of me. But just because I'm too tired to think doesn't mean I'm too tired to have sex.
Chapter 30. Let It Be Known. Pearl.
I have an important announcement to make,
Khan said and looked straight into the camera. We were in the beautiful amphitheater behind the Grey Manor. The afternoon sun hung low, and birds were chirping all around us as a happy choir gathered to celebrate our wedding day. Khan had insisted on making our wedding a media event. Not only was each of the 1,200 seats in the amphitheater full, but the ceremony was being transmitted to every device in the Northlands. I didn't recognize many people, but smiled at my mother, Christina, Kaya, Little Raven, Finn, Boulder, Mr. Zobel, and Khan's mother Erica, who all sat on the first row.
Today our nation steps into a new era, Khan continued. Over the last months, we have been working closely with the Council in the Motherlands to create ways to bridge our cultures. We'll always be proud and independent men, and we'll never betray the sacrifices our forefathers made when they refused to be ruled by a female council only.
Khan smiled when the audience called out their support to that statement. Holding up a hand to silence them, he gave a cocky smile.
Naturally, I've offered to rule the entire world, but the council didn't welcome that idea. So we'll continue to search for a compromise that we can all agree to.
He looked on top of the world when he spread out his arms in a grand gesture.
I'm fully aware that most of you wish to break down the border and find a woman of your own to honor and protect. But I'm asking you to be patient and support the crucial test projects that are now being started. And there is hope,
Khan said, and lifted my hand to his lips for a kiss.
I'm proud to introduce you to Pearl Pelody, who has been a member of the Council in the Motherlands for 7 years. Pearl is dedicated to creating the foundation for a union between our nations and has championed our cause in the Council. This week, she succeeded in getting a big breakthrough that will hopefully create ripple effects in years to come.
Khan smiled at me with pride before he shared the good news.
It's no longer illegal to speak of us in the Motherlands, and the first article written about us was printed 3 days ago.
The audience broke into wild cheers, and Khan let them shout, whistle, and stomp their feet, until he held up a hand to silence them again with a more serious expression on his face.
As with all compromises, it is not just in the Motherlands that things are changing. We here in the Northlands will have to make changes, too. As you all know, one of our most treasured customs is our wedding ceremony, where a woman chooses her champion among the 5 winners who have proven their bravery and strength in fighting. Unfortunately, the women from the Motherlands don't appreciate violence, and they sadly don't see the gesture in our fighting over them. Pearl has refused to let men die for her hand in marriage.
Noises were heard from the audience, and Khan grinned.
I know. But we have to acknowledge that there are cultural differences, and that if we want women to come and live here, we'll need to meet them halfway. Once the women over there start hearing about how amazing we really are instead of being fed rumors and lies, they're going to want to be with us.
Khan had to pause because of the loud roars from the audience. The amphitheater was boiling, and the excited energy that pulsed at us from the men lifted my spirit and made it impossible not to grin widely. Khan waited for them to calm down.
But I'm warning you, my fellow Northlanders. Women from the Motherlands have professions and strong opinions. They are smart and capable, and we as men will have to adapt our views on women if we want to make them stay. You all remember Christina Sanders, the first female to visit us. It was because of her job that she came here. So don't think for a minute it's a bad thing.
Khan pointed to Boulder and Christina in the first row.
I'm proud of my good friend Boulder for protecting Christina, marrying her, and convincing her to stay. Hopefully the two of them will bless us all with many children over the years to come.
The audience applauded and stomped their feet, shouting out Boulder's name, and he elegantly stood up, turned to face them and bowed, before he pulled Christina up on her toes and tipped her back in a kiss. Khan had to wait for the crowd to settle down again before he could continue.
I'm happy to tell you that Pearl Pelody has accepted my proposal of marriage.
The pride on Khan's face when he smiled at me made my knees weak.
And so, it will be up to me to make her want to stay. But I will need your help in showing her what honorable, strong men live here. If you do that, Pearl has promised to keep fighting with me for a future where men and women can live together and share power.
More cheers and stomping made me squeeze Khan's hand and grin at him.
Listen to me, my fellow men.
Khan quieted the audience down.
Do me a favor and be especially nice and respectful to our three visitors from the Motherlands. Pearl's friend Kaya Janae, young Raven, and Pearl's mother Isabel Pelody, who is also the chairman of the council in the Motherlands. Let them all go home with their eyes opened and their hearts calmed that Pearl will be treasured and safe with us. And let them say to their fellow Motlanders that they look forward to visiting us again.
I was proud of Khan for remembering to say Motlanders instead of Momsies. Looking to the first row, I saw Raven under Archer's arm. She was twisting her head back to see the audience that was going crazy behind her and their welcome to her, Kaya, and my mother. Kaya was between Archer and Boulder, and she waved a hand to the audience with a smile. My mother looked a bit overwhelmed by the men's enthusiasm, and sat stiffly between Christina and Finn. I smiled at her, and she eased up and smiled back.
Pearl and I would like to share this historic day with you all, and invite you to witness our union today.
Magni stepped forward, and for once, he smiled. Khan and I turned to each other holding hands while Magni asked,
Do you, Khan Aurelius, take Pearl Pelody to be your wife? I do,
Khan said loud and clear, his chest heaving with pride.
And do you, Pearl Pelody, take Khan Aurelius to be your husband?
Yes, I do, I nodded, and returned Khan's smile.
Then I declare you man and wife,
Magni said seriously and nudged Khan with his elbow.
You can kiss her now.
We didn't go crazy since the cameras were rolling, but Khan hugged me tight and planted a solid kiss on my lips. Was that it? I asked Magni.
Yeah, what did you expect?
He asked. I frowned slightly. It was a lot shorter than I've seen in movies and read in books. Magni arched a brow.
That's because I cut out the crappy part and jumped to the essentials.
Khan patted his brother's shoulder.
I like how you think.
But what about vows? I asked, noticing the audience was getting out of their seat. Khan grinned and pulled me close enough to whisper in my ear,
I vow to fill you up.
He pulled back and winked at me.
What do you vow?
I shook my head at him but enjoyed the playful energy between us. I vow to never let you push me away again. Khan lifted me from the ground and nuzzled his nose against mine.
I can't believe you're my wife,
he said, as if the word wife tasted like the sweetest chocolate in his mouth. My mom was the first to hug me, and for someone normally as calm and rational as her, she was clearly moved. It's very surreal, but I'm honored that I got to be here with you. Me too, Mom, I said, and pressed a kiss to her cheek. Are they being nice to you? Yes. She held up a flower.
A man gave me this just now.
See, they can be sweet, I said happily.
When are we getting some fucking beer?
Boulder shouted over our heads to Khan and pushed at us to get through. And crude, I admitted with an apologetic smile.
And you like that?
My mom asked while looking around the mayhem, with Raven on Archer's shoulder towering above the crowd and Kaya in the shadow of Magni, who, having performed the short ritual, was back to protecting her. Men were pointing to Raven and Kaya, and not surprisingly, that stressed their protectors. Magni scowled at the men like he was ready to bring out the Norse god he was named after and create Ragnarok if anyone came too close to Kaia. "The men are fascinated with their dark skin and exotic beauty," Finn said next to us, nodding his head to Kaia and Raven. I waved back at Raven.